سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله، وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, our praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're very grateful to Allah that we're Muslims. We should be grateful that we're Muslims. Like we mentioned last week, you have to cherish, you have to really cherish what Islam is all about. Because that brings a lot of joy. It really does. Allah revealed a verse in Quran. He says, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. He says, Taha, we have not sent down this Quran so that you would suffer. Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa, so that you would suffer. Illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. But we sent it down as a reminder for people who fear Allah. People who have khashya in the heart. You know, we do during a series at the masjid after Salatul Isha, different levels of how you rebuild your spirituality. One of the levels is called Al-Maraqaba. That's stated by Imam An-Nabawi in the book that he wrote called Riyad al-Salihin, Guard of the Righteousness. And when he gets to that point, that's daily constant spiritual awareness. It's spiritual maintenance. Because this is what you have to do in all aspects of things that have to do with your Islam. Okay? Spiritual maintenance. And it's not a burden. Sometimes it gets, you know, it can get taxing. But it's more of a burden when you're resisting. See, Islam is a burden if you're resisting. If you resist. You know, I say, don't resist, don't resist. Well, when you resist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your deen becomes a big burden on you. It's a burden. Because you're resisting. Because you're in a state of resistance. You know? And if you're in a state of resistance, you're in a state of disobedience. Or at least you're showing a high proclivity. You know, because you're resisting Allah. Remember, our religion is called Islam. The word Islam means submission. Submission to who? Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more Muslim you are is based upon how the more you submit. When you resist, then it's a burden. Why I gotta do that? Why we gotta do that? Why I don't wanna do that? Because you're resisting. But when we submit the heart to Islam, it becomes a lot easier. Actually, it becomes pleasurable. Because the heart is at rest. Just like Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. He says, those people who believe and whose hearts are made at rest by the remembrance of Allah. Nay, does not the remembrance of Allah make the hearts at rest? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, كل أمتي دخل الجنة إلا من أبى. He says, all of my ummah shall enter paradise except for the one who refuses. refuses to go. So they said, "Man ya'ba ya Rasulullah." Who would refuse that, O Messenger of Allah? He said, "Whoever obeys me, dakhala al-jannah. Wa man asani faqad aba." But the one who disobeys, then he has refused. So you have to, I want to talk about the family. This is a very important topic. Because without Muslim families, you don't have Muslim communities. Without Muslim communities, you have nothing. You have nothing to build on. It's just a flash in the pan. But first, before that, I want to advise us all, with myself firstly, to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in Quran, "Oh, you believe in taqwallah, haqqa taqatihi wa la tamutun illa wa antum muslimun." Oh, you believe, have taqwa of Allah to the degree that's warranted, and don't die unless you die in a state of submission. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says about the family, He says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." He says, "Oh, you who believe, save yourselves," you always start with the self first, "and your families from the fire." He's talking about the hellfire. You know, people don't like to hear about the hellfire, but the hellfire is very real. And it's the reality for a lot of people. But he says, save yourselves and your family from hellfire. Now, I want to tell you something. If you look at any community, anywhere in the world of Muslims, and you examine it for 23 years, you'll be able to get a snapshot of where that community is spiritually. What, you know, you can take a look at the mistakes, because you're seeing that generation and a little bit more. Because that's the rate of maturity of the average Muslim community, is 23 years. This is from the time that the Prophet ﷺ got the wahi, that inspiration, the revelation of the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the time of his death was 23 years worth of revelation. And at that point, Allah says, "Al-yawmu akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati." This is, on this day, I have completed for you your religion, and I have perfected for you my ni'mah upon you. So if you look at the community for 23 years, you get a good snapshot of where we're going as the Muslim people. That's any country, any place you go, you'll see that snapshot. You look at the last 23 years, and you'll see the trend. You can look in Muslim countries today where they've been overcome by non-Islamic culture. You can see the trend over the last 23 years, how it started with this, and then that led to this, and that led to this, and that led to this. And people who look at these things, conscientious Muslims who look at these things to try to come up with an idea of how can we repair, they look at what was the trends. Because you want to uncover the areas of moral dysfunction. You can do it with any community. This is because this is something that's natural to human beings. So if you look at Islam in America, you take the last 23 years, and in the last 23 years before that, and if you look at the last three periods of 23 years, the 70 years, you can see a trend. Especially the last 20 years. Last 20 years has been rough. The next 20 is going to be, it's going to be something. You can see where the damage has been. You can see what works, what doesn't work. One of the problems with Muslim Americans is not just the convert, it's everybody. There's a serious disconnect in the generational chain between people. When I say a serious disconnect between a generational chain, is that the people who are coming in right now, they have very little contact to the people who've been here for years and years and years and years. So it cuts off the generational chain. That goes for immigrants, it goes for converts, same thing. You come here from another country, you get to America, and you say, okay, how can we apply Islam? I want to apply Islam. Okay, fine. That's great. But there are people who have already been here applying Islam. So if you're not gaining that information, if you're not accessing that generational chain that already existed in the land, you're going to be making big mistakes. But the thing about it, when people do things as a civilization, just like family decisions, civilizational decisions, it has great consequence. It's one thing if you mess up your own car, you get a car off the lot, brand new car, and you modify it, it ain't the right modification, mess it up. But it's something else if they made that miscalculation at the factory when they produced the car, then it's going to affect millions of vehicles. Same thing, same principle. So when we do things that affect our whole generation, then the damage is widespread. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa," I'm making in the earth a khalifa. Well, the word khalifa in Islam, I don't know what people be getting some of this stuff from, but the word khalifa, it means successor. I'm making you a successive type of species. يَخْلُفُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا, meaning that one group comes, they have children, families, and they have their children are their successors. They take from what we've got, we did this, and I'm passing it down to you, and you say, okay, well, I already got some stuff covered because I already know, because the generation that came before, they already did that, so I don't got to do that stupid stuff anymore. That don't work. And you improve. They do that in technology. People study technology, they build upon what existed before. And the most precious technology is the spiritual technology of the soul. So you can look at any community for 23 years and you can see where the breakdown is. Okay? Now, we have a serious problem with family in America. In general, it hits certain segments of society even more. African American Muslims are hit particularly hard with the family. They have the highest rate of single parent households, highest rate of diseases, of addiction, highest rates of incarceration. And there are historical reasons for that too. Although we can't blame it all on that, but that's the reality. You come into Islam. Islam is a cure. Yes, it is. But you have to work it like you work in medicine. So every time there's a picture of indigenous American Muslims in this country, or even immigrant Muslims, they always talk about it as if we just got here. Yeah, the converts, they're just trying to get together. Yeah, I'm trying to find myself. I'm a new Muslim. Da, 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 blah, blah, blah. Well, I came here from Egypt, I came here from Sudan, I came here from Palestine, so and so. We're trying to find our way in America. Like, dude, Islam has been here as a religion since the 1600s. The Sunnah practice, Jama'ats, have been here since the 1800s. Since the 1800s. There were jama'ah of Muslims practicing the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ. Organized communities of Muslims, Orthodox Muslims, have been here since the 1930s. So the snapshot was already drawn about what works and what doesn't work, but if you're ignoring all that, you're making the same mistakes. Person converts to Islam, he says, oh, I'm new Muslim, okay, I gotta do this. Well, he's not connected to any chain, any silsila, any generational chain to say, dude, I became Muslim 50 years ago, 30 years ago. So before you get all happy, Let me give you some advice about how to navigate your religion, because some of the things that you're going to encounter, I encountered that. So I'm going to tell you where it's going to be a problem. Because just because you became a Muslim does not remove all of your spiritual and moral defects just by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Same goes for people coming from abroad. Listen, before you get all into it, let me tell you about the way it works in America, because it's not the way it seems. Let me tell you how you can practice your Islam, how you can raise your children in a modern environment and they still have their Islam, keep their Islam. So we're making those mistakes. And that's the major problem that affects the Muslim family today, particularly indigenous American Muslims. Certain things work, certain things don't work. Anybody who's been around, who examined the situation, you can tell. It only takes 23 years. So every time you talk about American Muslims, it's always like, we don't know nothing. We're still trying to figure it out. Either you're trying to figure out your identity and you're dealing with Islamophobia, you're all freaked out about what people might be thinking about you, and you got a job, you're working, you're doing okay. You still got people walking and saying, yeah, I know they're looking at me funny. If you check with somebody, they tell you, dude, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. You have to check. So the most important thing, one of the most important things for American Muslims of all backgrounds, is to strengthen the family, strengthen the community, to reclaim the morality of Islam. Okay? We have to move away from political ideology. There's a certain need for politics in Islam. I recognize that. But the Prophet ﷺ, long before he was any kind of a politician, I don't call him a politician because that's not his description in the Quran. That's not the description in the Torah, not in the Injil. Allah says, "Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashira wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'iznihi wa sirajan munira." He said, "We have sent you as a witness, wa mubashira, and a bringer of glad tidings, wa nadhira, and a warner." وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ, and an inviter to Allah by His permission. وَسِرَاجًا مَنِيرًا, and illuminated light. That's the, he was a Nabi. He was a Rasul. He was Rahmatul Alameen. Don't say nowhere he was a politician. But that doesn't preclude that Muslims are going to be involved in politics. Politics is the art of governance of people. But you Muslim first. So you can even see in the last 23 years, especially the last 30, 40 years, in different neighborhoods, inner city neighborhoods, when I grew up, they always viewed the Muslim as having morality. Oh, that's the Muslim. The Muslim come on the scene. They get the Muslims come on. Okay. Oh, okay. What's up, brother? Peace to you, brother. Respect, brother. Respect. That's, you know. Right, in the same areas now, they look at the Muslims as the gang jokers, gangsters. They don't take care of their families. They don't believe in family. It's the same thing. Before, when people would go to prison, become Muslim, and come out, you never go back. You converted into prison, now you come out. Now you coming in Muslim, but you come out Muslim. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Muslim. I want my rights too. No. It's a diff because of disconnect. We're not working the deen right. So brothers and sisters, if you have a family, you want to look at how you are going to practice your Islam in a way that it carries beyond you to your next generation. If you do that, then you're fulfilling the overall goal of Islam. The goal of the Prophet ﷺ was to have the message spread. That's why prophets only leave as inheritance knowledge. It's the knowledge. People who preach about Islam, we consider ourselves preaching on behalf of Rasulullah. People who call to Islam, I'm calling to Islam on behalf of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We're just an extension. I'm just a successor of that message. That's why Allah mentions in the Quran about Sayyidina Ya'qub. He says, Am kuntum shuhada iz hadar Ya'qub al-maut. فَقَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبَدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. He says, or were you present when death came to Jacob? And he said to his sons, his children, all I want to know is this. Because he's on his deathbed now. He didn't say, well, okay, what I want to know is, you know, who going to get this and what y'all going to do and this and that and, you know, y'all going to put, you know, some rims on my casket. No, he said, who are you going to worship after I'm going? That's what I want to know. Because that's the best inheritance you can leave to your children is Islam. But you have to look at it as an inheritance. You know, it's something, it's, you know. So certain things you have to do that we have to start to implement, particularly with the children. Because for our current generation, Allahu A'lam, but the damage is so great, brothers and sisters. We really messed it up. Honestly, we really did. We messed this joint up, man. We messed up this religion so much. We changed the dynamics. We changed the names of things. We changed the importance of things. People will rather demonstrate in the street about something than make salat in the masjid. People be sitting around here, I'm doing dhikr here, I'm doing this and doing that, doing that. Dude, don't you know that the number one, the primary function that Muslim men should be engaging in congregation is salat? There's nothing more important than that. Nothing comes close to it. Before it was, okay, we getting together at the masjid, then we're gonna go play some ball. We're gonna be at the masjid, make salat, then we're gonna go do so-and-so. We're gonna be at the masjid, then we're gonna do so-and-so. Yeah, we gotta, hey man, stop at the masjid, man. Let's get the salat in. Then we're gonna go, we're going to the movies. Then we're going to the masjid. Or going, now it's, we're gonna do this. Oh, we doing this. Oh, we doing deen. Who? But this has happened over a period of time. Anybody can tell you that if you want to keep your religion solid, you have to pray. Anybody can tell you, if you're a new Muslim, I'm telling you right now, because I've given hundreds of shahada right here in this mash, right here. Over the last 15, 16 years, we've given our share of shahada here. See him come in, go right out. Come in, go right out. Come right, go right out. Because they make the same mistakes again and again and again and again. I've seen so many children grow up in this masjid to leave the religion. And there's certain criteria that if I look at it, back in the 16 years here, we can see what works. The parents who are closely associated to the masjid, to the prayer, their children are much more likely to stay in the religion. The ones that here, this one day, this next day, this, you can't feed children on that. You can't feed children on sectarianism. You cannot, I guarantee you. You can't. That's why you don't see nobody's children who grew up in a religion and say, yeah, I'm a Salafi like my dad. I'm a Madhabi like my dad. It's like my dad is something, I don't know what it is. I don't know what they do. No, you can't take something that's a part of Islam and make it the totality of Islam. People like different things. Some people are into Sufism. Some people are very strictly adhered to the Madhahib. It's not a bad thing in and of itself. Some people are Salafi, some people are just, some people involved in politics. None of those things are bad by themselves. But if you make it your reality, of your Islamic reality, you cannot pass it to your kids. It has no substance. That's not what it's meant to pass. Those things are contingent things based upon time and circumstance. If you need to become deeply, deeply involved in Sufism at a certain time in your life because you got serious illness, okay, alhamdulillah, mashallah. But that can't be your reality. The reality has to be the five pillars. That's not going to change. It has to be back to salat, zakat, siyam, hajj, iman. It has to go back to akhlaq, adab, manners, morals, brotherhood, sisterhood. That strengthens everything. Even in marriages. People get married, okay, you have problems, but they don't even give each other the rights of Islam. At the minimum, she's your Muslim sister. At the minimum, he's your Muslim brother. At the minimum. When your children see you act treacherous within your religion, then, that's a killer. No Muslim child should ever see his parents behaving treacherously towards another Muslim. That tells them there's no security for you, son, in this religion. Because we'll say, Salaam alaikum, Salaam alaikum, Salaam alaikum, and be treacherous as anybody else. That tells your son or daughter, okay, I do better just being cool with my boys from the hood. I can't. But when they see the opposite, that tells them, no, you know, and it's faith, it's love, it's unity, it's support. When your kids see you storm out of a masjid, I ain't going to a masjid, they're looking at you like, wow. They're not saying anything, but their spirit is picking up that. It destroys the Islam. It destroys your own Islam and your kids' Islam. I've seen it. That's why most of us, our children, are not practicing Islam. For most Muslims, it's a one-shot deal. Maybe if you stay. I keep hearing this story again and again and again. Yeah, because my daughter, you know, my son, it shouldn't be that way. It should be, alhamdulillah, that's my son at the masjid right now. Here you go, right there. Lead the prayer, son. When you get old and you can't, you know, your children should have been taught about obedience to the parents. Respect for the elder. So they don't say, well, you on your own, pop. They should be, what? Someone with my parents? Oh no. Because I was taught that. That's what the Prophet said. Yulid al-mawlud ala al-fitra fa'abawahu yuhawidanahu aw yunassiranahu aw yumajjisana. Each child is born in a state of fitra, natural submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is his parents who make him into a Jew, a Magi, or a Christian. Children are so easy to teach in the religion. So when you want strong families, the family structure has to go back to the principle of tawheed, of obedience. You want good marriages? Some of y'all, it really, I don't know if you should even talk about marriage. Because if you're not entering that marriage with the idea of being responsible and fulfilling the obligations to the best of your ability according to Kitab and Sunnah, then you got a problem. You're going to have a problem in your household. Islam is the answer, but you have to submit. It's a big deal now because the state of our family as Muslim Americans is very bad, particularly in the indigenous community. It's extremely bad. It's very, very bad. The children are leaving Islam. The parents are leaving Islam. We're introducing concepts and ideology to our children that contradicts our book, our scripture. You can't do that and expect a good result. And then complain because you're having problems. In any household, Allah should reign supreme. That should be the basis for any dispute. Okay, what does Allah say? What did the Prophet say? Okay, well, we're going to both go with that, okay? All right, here we go. If somebody said, no, because see, my friend said, and I think, and I read, okay, this is what you get. No, that's what we get. That's what we got. If you keep moving around, you're not committed anywhere, then that teaches your child. Don't be committed. It makes them afraid. They don't see the benefit of it. That's real. Now, I'm trying to step on some toes because I know how a lot of your children, the problem you're having with your kids. And most of you, when you say something, we're here to help as much as possible. But those of you who have children now, those who have families now, brother comes and have problems, so. Dude, go home. Call the azan in your house. Make salat. That's basic stuff. Basic things. These things affect our civilization. In order to strengthen the family, you have to employ the fundamental principles of family with respect to Islam. You know, really. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he said during times of tribulation, the best place for a person is his home. We always say here that for every brother, the way you move around should be work, masjid, and home. Ain't that what we've been saying for the last 15, 16 years? Work, masjid, home. Where you at? I'm going to work. Where you going in? I'm going to the masjid, I'm going home. I might get stopped at the store, but I'm going home. And people who keep that cycle, I'm telling you, they tend to stay in the faith. Their families tend to stay in the faith or more ground, more grounded. We doing too much. People to be all over here, everywhere. Where you go? I'm going over here. I'm going there. Oh, it's halal. Oh, okay, where are you? Sometimes it is. But the Prophet said, you will never reach the level of muttaqi, of piety, until you leave certain things alone that there's no harm in it for fear of the things in which there is harm. I just think it's a shame if you become Muslim, if you're a Muslim. You know, I was talking to a young man the other day, a couple weeks ago. Right? So he's looking at my name, he says, oh, are you Muslim? I said, I'm Muslim. Yeah, I'm Muslim. Wow. He says, sound like I said, are you Muslim? I said, I'm not Muslim. But my grandfather was a Muslim. And he came from the old country. My grandfather was a Muslim. And my grandmother, she still pray. But no, I'm a Christian. As for me, I'm a Christian. Yeah. But I do come from a Muslim family. So I'm familiar with your religion. That's happening more. Not so much people going to Christianity. But, you know, some of you Islam may have been in your family for generations, man. Why come to America just to give it up? For a house. For some money. Why become Muslim and have children in Islam and those children do not grow up with the fundamental understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet? That's just tragic. That's a moral catastrophe. And it affects the family. You need different families. You need family support in order to strengthen each other's families. That's the basis behind Surah Al-Asr. He said, "Watawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr." So my family, I'm connected to other families, and they make dua for each other, and we talk to each other. It's our family. It's my family. It's your family. Your extended family. You want to look at having an extended family. You know, but brothers and sisters, this is something that requires serious effort. You know, I don't like to speak about negative things, but this is just creeping up on us so quickly. People are losing their religion every day. One day you're doing this, next day is this. One day you this, now you this. Which sect you found today? I mean, because last week it was. Sectarian does not work for converts. Never have, never will. Just so you know. Just so y'all know. If you study Islam in America for the past 100 years, sectarianism has never, ever, 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 ever worked for a convert. It might work a little bit for the individual, but you can't sustain it because it's not born of the land. For a person who wants to clean up Islam, you have to go back to La ilaha illallah Rasulullah. You have to go back to the basics. If you want to clean up your morality, you have to go back to straight, listen, this is right, this is wrong, this is what Allah says, what the prophets say. I do the best I can. Nobody's perfect, but this is what we're following. I'm telling you, all y'all that are trying to bring stuff from this place and that place, it's not going to work. You're going to lose your kids. I see it happen all the time. All those who come into Islam, you want to try something new, you want to bring this, some thug stuff into it, you want to try to mix it with this and that, it's not going to work, you're going to lose your children. It's going to happen. You might get a few sip through, but this has been shown, like I said, if you look at any community over a period of 23 years, this is what you see. So when we're looking at stuff, we're looking at over the period of 23 years. This is what's happened. The rate right now for converts is about 7 out of every 10 leave, if not Islam altogether, at least the practice of Islam. 7 out of 10. 3 in 10 to take Shahada, stay. By the time you got this, you're trying to be this, you're trying to do that, you haven't learned your prayers. There's people who become Muslim, ain't learned their prayer. I mean, you're learning this song, you're learning that, you're learning that, you're learning that. You're getting degrees. How are you going to go get a degree at a university and you don't know 3-4 surahs? How that? It's the choice. But your children should see that your religion is important to you. And then when they're small, they'll try to please you on the basis of that. Oh, yeah, because, see, Dad, I told the truth. Yeah. You tell them the hadith where the Prophet says that, a person will continue to lie until they're written with Allah as a liar. And they'll be scared of that. You tell them about shaitan. Your kids, oh, shaitan. Oh, oh. You teach them that stuff. You can't let your kids watch all these shows on TV and you don't take any time. We have a school, weekend school. Half the people say, yeah, I got kids and stuff. And you ain't bring your kids to the weekend school. It costs hardly nothing. Seriously, when there's classes on Salat and things, brothers, if you don't know how to pray, you need to learn. Ghusl, wudu, you got to know that kind of stuff. If you're not praying at home with your family, okay, whatever happened in the past, mashallah. None of us are perfect. But if you're having a problem with your children, with order in the house, authority, start making Salat, man. Everybody start getting... Oh, he make a Salat. Hold up. They'll turn the music down or turn. Oh, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What? Huh? What? What's going on? It shakes up the demons in your house. A lot of times we live in a house, we got 4, 5, 10 demons living in with us. You got to clean that stuff out. That's why Allah says, أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. Save yourselves and your family from the fire. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم أسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على